in 2014 where he said that Australia is a nation of lifters, not leaners. Does anyone remember that? We're a nation of lifters, not leaners. Sounds good, doesn't it? The idea that we're a nation of people who are strong, who work hard, who don't rely on the handouts and the efforts of others. It's got almost a romantic idea, but whether he intended it or not, that statement kind of implies that anyone who's living on a pension or welfare payments, Centrelink, there's a sense that they are considered un-Australian. If we're a nation of lifters, not leaners, then anyone who's kind of leaning, where do they belong? Do they belong in Australia at all? Are you, I wonder, are you a lifter or are you a leaner? Are you strong and self-reliant and self-made, or are you weak? Are you weak? Are you leaning on the strength of others with very little to offer? Do you see yourself as a lifter or a leaner? Now, these are really important questions for us, because to answer these questions says a lot about our citizenship. Not our citizenship in Australia, but our citizenship in the kingdom of God. And so we're going to hear what Jesus has to say about this as we come to the passage, and I'm going to pray that God helps us. Heavenly Father, help us now to understand what you're saying to us. Give us clear minds and clear hearts. And we pray that we will be transformed by your word so that our attitudes and our loves line up with your attitudes and your loves. Amen. Well, I think the first thing that we see when we come to the passage that was read for us is that the kingdom of God is about weakness and not strength. The kingdom of God is about weakness and not strength. Over the last chapters, there's been a lot of discussion about discipleship in the kingdom of God. As Jesus has walked around and talked with people, he's had a lot of conflict with the Pharisees. They were the religious leaders. They looked down on anyone else who wasn't so moral as them. They considered them filthy sinners. They were trusting in their own status as moral and upright and religious. And Jesus was working really hard to shatter their illusions. Jesus said, only broken-hearted, repentant sinners will be forgiven. Jesus said, only broken-hearted, repentant sinners will spark a party in heaven. And it seems like the disciples at this point have actually been infected with the way of thinking of the Pharisees. Have a look there at verse 15. Verse 15, people will also bring in babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, to bless them. And when the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. Imagine the situation. Jesus and his disciples, they might have had a long day, a long journey. They might have been dusty and tired. Some of the disciples might have gone into the town to find somewhere to stay. And word had got out that Jesus has come. And so parents were bringing their children. They thought, maybe Jesus is going to bless our children. It'd be wonderful. And the disciples saw them coming and they decided, they're like bouncers at the local RSL. And he said, nah, sorry, no entry. Jesus hasn't got time for you. He's tired? I mean, they'll let through someone important, but children, babies, they're just not important enough to bother Jesus right now. And so they sent the parents packing. They rebuked the parents. They were like, nah, rack off. Jesus doesn't have time for you. And Jesus heard this, and it must have broken his heart. He wasn't going to allow this to happen. He says, no, 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 no. Let the kids come to me. Because Jesus loved children. They were precious to him. And I think we know this. It's probably not surprising to us, but in the first century, children were not seen the same as they are today. Children, there was such a high mortality rate. You didn't know if your child was going to see out the winter. The whole society sort of downplayed the place of children. They weren't important. They couldn't offer much. They couldn't work. They couldn't earn their keep. They were helpless. They couldn't support themselves. They couldn't support anyone. And their family would have loved them, but they were seen with a low value by society, which is really different to today. You see how kids are valued today? We have the biggest car seats and the biggest prams you could imagine to sort of protect and look after children. But in that setting, kids were seen as less important and less valuable. And into that setting, Jesus says something just really remarkable. He says, the kingdom of God belongs to people like these kids. The kingdom of God belongs to people like these kids. In his kingdom, it's the people that don't seem to have much to offer. It's the people who don't really seem to be able to serve much, or they can't do much for themselves. In God's kingdom, those people, the kingdom belongs to them. They have center stage in the kingdom of Jesus. And the disciples were really confused. They didn't get it. They didn't get it. And I think we need to be really careful that we don't fall into the same trap as the disciples. Jesus loved children. They were at the very center, he says, of his kingdom. And we as a church need to recognize that. We need to be totally transformed by that way of thinking. It is wonderful that we can have kids' ministry groups meeting through the term, teaching kids at an age-appropriate level that they can understand. But we must never feel that the kids belong out there and the real business happens in here. No. Kids belong in here as much or more than anyone else, says Jesus. With all of their wriggles and all of their squirms and their ukuleles potentially, the kids belong to God's church as much or more than anyone else. And we need to reorient our way of thinking so that we see them the way Jesus sees them. But I think that even that's not our biggest struggle. Because I think there are people in our society that our world overlooks and ignores far more than they do kids. And we're in danger of being sucked into the same way of thinking, infected with the same way of thinking. Who is it, do you think, in our society, in our culture, who is most likely to be ignored or overlooked or devalued or considered as not really significant and not able to contribute much? I think there's a few people, groups that could fit in that category. Can I say particularly elderly people in our culture? In first century, they might have been held up as more people more significant. In an Australian culture, older people tend to be downplayed. They are seen as far less significant. And to the older members of our church, you can decide if you're in this category or not. I'm not going to draw any lines here. Can I say, you might feel devalued by the world, but you are very precious to Jesus. Not because you can do lots of things, not because you're like Billy Graham going, if God wanted 1,000 Billy Grahams, he could give us 1,000 Billy Grahams. You know what God's given us instead? 1,000 Ethels in his church, or Ednas, or Bills. There are far more older people in God's church, even here in Sydney, than there are Billy Grahams or John Pipers. Who is Jesus building into his church? And you might feel devalued sometimes even here at church, like your opinions don't matter as much. And if that's the case, if that's what you felt overlooked or ignored, can I say, I'm very sorry that that's been your experience. Church should be a place where you are honored, where you're honored, where anyone is honored, no matter what they can contribute or how much they can do, they are honored because Jesus honors you and honors people like that. He honors the children who can't achieve much. He honors disabled people who can't achieve much. He honors the chronically ill who can't achieve much. You might have slowed down on your feet and you might be a little bit more unsteady, but you are significant in God's kingdom. And to the younger members of our church, can I say, let's not fall into the same trap as the disciples of thinking that people are valuable to our church or valuable to God because of what they can do. Don't talk about the oldies as the oldies over there. Go and meet them. Are there older people here at church that you've never spoken to? Fix that. Show that they're valuable to you. Now, this is going to cause potentially, let's show some grace here. This is going to cause potentially some confusion after the service. You're trying to say, is someone coming to talk to me because they think I'm old? Let's just assume that everyone's going to show grace and everyone is just going to talk to somebody. They might be older or younger. Who knows? Let's fix this. Because in Jesus' kingdom, people who the world devalues, Jesus says the kingdom belongs to people like them. Anyway, back to Jesus. In verse 17, Jesus says something really extraordinary again to his disciples. He says, not only are people weak people like babies at the center of his kingdom, he says that the only way to enter into his kingdom is to be like a baby. See verse 17? He says, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child is never going to enter it. Now, does this mean that we all need buckets of anti-aging cream? No. It means we receive the gift of the kingdom the way that a baby receives the gift. Have you ever gone to visit a newborn baby and parents, and you give the baby a gift? What usually happens? They're asleep, right? Or at the very best, they drool on the packaging. Babies do nothing to receive. You know who did the work? Mum. Give the mum, if you're going to visit, give the mum a gift, bring her some food. She's done the work. The baby has done nothing to receive the gift. The baby doesn't even take it. The baby does nothing. They've got nothing to offer. And that's our mindset. That's got to be our mindset if we want to enter God's kingdom. Have you ever heard the saying, God helps those who help themselves? Have you heard that? Seen it on posters? Can I say, that is so utterly wrong, it's satanic. It's satanic. Because who does God actually help? He helps people who can't help themselves. In fact, the only people that God helps are the ones who know that they can't help themselves. It's the Pharisees that were the ones who thought they could help themselves. Jesus says, no, it's these babies are the ones. The kingdom of God is full of leaners. There is not a single lifter in the kingdom of God. And if you consider yourself to be quite capable and strong, you've got lots to offer God, lots to offer the kingdom, lots to offer the world, can I say you are in grave danger that you might miss out on God's kingdom. If you consider yourself a lifter and very capable, significant, you've got lots to offer, you will not enter God's kingdom. Are you offended by this? Good. Because these are the words of Jesus, and he is metaphorically grabbing his disciples by the shoulder and shaking them up to make sure they don't fall into the trap of the Pharisees. He's shaking them up to see that God's kingdom is full of the weak and insignificant. It's full of people who can't help themselves. It's full of people who know they've got nothing to offer. It's full of people who are not impressive. He says, if you do not receive the kingdom of God like that, you will not enter it at all. That's right, forever. The kingdom of God is about weakness and not strength. Like children, like babies. Now we're going to take a moment now. Anna has brought a friend who is going to, who I don't think, hasn't really heard any of this so far. I'll hand over to you, Anna.
Thank you, Brian. Hello, everyone. It's so lovely to see you here this morning. If I haven't met you before, welcome. We are so glad to have you here. It's school holidays, which is exciting because it means the kids are with us. Kids, would you like to come up and join me up here, just on the step here? Yep, fantastic. Thanks, Sophia. You lead the charge there. Brian mentioned that I have brought a friend along today. I have, but I'm not quite sure where he is at the moment. Yep, just down there, Celeste. Fantastic. His name is Frankie. He's only little. He's just a kid, just like you guys. I'm not sure where he is. See, the thing with Frankie is that he hides when he's a bit unsure, so he could be hiding. So, kids, do you reckon you could just not in a big loud voice, just in a quiet voice, just say, "Hello, Frankie," and see if he comes out. You ready? 1, 2, 3.
Hello, Frankie.
Oh, okay. Try one more time. I think I found him. I think he's over. Just give me a sec. I'll see if I can get him to come out.
Frankie, come on, buddy. Come on, it's okay. It's okay. Are you ready? Do you think he's
going to
come?
Oh, it's okay, Frankie. You don't need to be scared. Do you guys reckon you give, show me your biggest smile and give him a wave. See if. Yeah, it's okay. It's the kids. Yeah. See, he's okay now. See, it's okay. Well, he's not so sure about the big people. Don't need to be worried about them. They're friendly. We're all friends here. Everybody here is really lovely. Now, I'm guessing, Frankie, that given you have been hiding in your box, that you haven't heard anything of what Brian has said. Is that right? He didn't hear anything. He had his head in his box. He couldn't hear. Nothing. Heard nothing. So you guys are going to need to help Frankie. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the first thing that I think we need to help Frankie with is something that Brian told us at the beginning. Something that Jesus loves. Oh, no, Frankie, not that. I don't want to tell them about... Okay, Frankie, the most precious thing in the world to Frankie are old socks. And he's wondering if maybe Jesus loves old socks too. I don't think it's old socks. Hannah, you had your hand up. What does Jesus love?
Children.
Jesus loves children. Yes, he does. He loves children very much. Children are precious to Jesus, aren't they? Yes, even you, Frankie, and even the very little kids up the back. See little Lucy up there? Give Lucy a wave. Lucy can walk a little bit. She can't even talk yet. All the children, including the babies, are precious to Jesus. Yeah, that is very good news, isn't it? Hey, Celeste. I know, it's very exciting, isn't it? And in our true story today, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me. Don't." What did he say? Don't stop them. Jesus wants all the children to come to him. And the kids in our church are really precious to us. Kids in our church have a really important place in our church, and we love them. Oh, thank you, Frankie. He's very cuddly. Giving me a hug. Thank you, Frankie. Now, Jesus also said that there's something that belongs to people like children. Can anybody remember what that was? Something belongs to people like children. Yes, Sophia.
The kingdom of God.
The kingdom of God? What? That's huge, isn't it? Yes, Frankie, that is very exciting news. The kingdom of God belongs to people like children. It's okay. That's okay. Frankie said that he doesn't have anything to give Jesus, though. He's only got his old sock collection. But that's okay, isn't it? Because Jesus says, "Come to me like little children who have nothing, can't do anything for him, come like them." In fact, Jesus said that everybody who wants to be in his kingdom should come like who? Who should they come like? Like children that don't have anything or can give anything. Yes, What's that, Arthur? That's okay. That's okay. All right. Fantastic. Thank you for helping, Frankie. So have you got that, Frankie? Yes. Jesus loves children. He welcomes children. They're precious to him. And children belong to God's kingdom. In fact, everybody who wants to come into God's kingdom needs to come like a child. Brian's going to come back for a sec. Yeah, there's Brian over there. You met him in staff meeting the other week. Yeah, there he is over there. What? Oh! Do you know what? Frankie's just seen somebody who he knows and loves very much. He's a little bit excited because he's seen Dorothy. He knows and loves Dorothy. He's going to go... Oh, he's very excited. Yes, yes. See, I told you it'd be all right here. Everybody, you're a family, that's right. Brian's going to come back and he's going to tell us about a rich young man who very much wanted to be part of God's kingdom. Now, I want you guys to listen out, and you too, Frankie, to have a listen about whether this man understood that he needs to come like a little child, okay? So you guys can go and sit back down now. Say bye, Frankie.
Bye.
Bye, kids. All right, thank you.
Good job, Frankie. Well, the kingdom of God, it's about weakness and not strength. It's also about willingness and not wealth. In verse 18, we see another person coming to Jesus, and he's described as a ruler. And he asks a really excellent question of Jesus. He asks about eternal life. That's a good thing to ask, right? And he knows that Jesus is the guy that you ask. That's good. And he also seems to know that Jesus is God, or at least from God, because he calls Jesus good teacher. And no one in that Jewish society would use that kind of title for their rabbis or synagogue leaders, anything like that. He sees Jesus and says, "You're a good teacher." And Jesus says, "Why do you call me that? No one is good except for God." And the guy seems to let his statement stand. He seems to think, yeah, that's why I said it. He seems to think that Jesus is from God or God himself. And so he's asking about eternal life. He knows that Jesus is from God. But can you see the problem with his question? He asks, "What must I do to enter eternal life, to inherit eternal life?" Because he seems to think that he can do something. He's got something to offer God, some way of service to God, so that he can show that he is someone worthy of God's favor. And now Jesus doesn't debate him. He doesn't say, "Oh, sorry, mate." Jesus just points out to him the requirements of the old law. See verse 20? He says, "You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother." And the guy says, "Yeah, I'm good there." Which I think is a really gutsy thing to say, because Jesus has just said that no one is good, pardon me, except for God. And the guy's like, "But I'm a little bit good, right? I'm a little bit good." This guy was a deeply moral man, deeply moral. He's the kind of guy you'd love your daughter to bring home. He was a genuinely good dude, and he's searching for eternal life. So how does Jesus respond to him? See verse 22? "When Jesus heard this, he said, 'You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me.'" Jesus doesn't contradict him. He doesn't say, "Oh, well, listen here, mate, you are very wrong." He says, "Okay, show me what's going on in your heart. What do you love? If you're going to follow me, like all of these other disciples, you've got to be willing to give up your wealth, your house, your home, all of those things, just like these guys did. And you can come and follow me on the road," says Jesus. "Are you willing to give all of these things up for me?" And the man, a deeply moral man, a deeply religious man, a man who was searching for eternal life and who was even willing to say that Jesus is from God, when he heard that following Jesus would cost him his wealth, he turned away. He couldn't stomach the idea of giving up his wealth to follow Jesus. His wealth was like an anchor to him, weighing him down to hell. Like the Pharisees, he loved money. And back in chapter 16, Jesus said, if you love money, you will hate God. If you love money or wealth or comfort or luxury or status or achievement, if they are the things that you love, if they are the things that you want and live for, Jesus says, you will hate God. And see verse 24. Jesus, he sees that the man was sad and he says, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. That should send a shiver up our spines. Because many of us are wealthy in Australian standards, never mind world standards. Would you be willing to give it up for Jesus? Would I be willing to give it up? Or whatever it is that you are wealthy in. Maybe you're wealthy in your career prospects, or wealthy in your education, or wealthy in the status that you have in your family, or whatever it is that is your riches. Would you be willing to give it up for Jesus? Am I willing? What do you think is the smallest space you could fit a camel into? What do you reckon? I reckon a fridge is too small. I think a car is about the smallest space I could fit a camel into. In fact, if you worked really hard, I reckon you could fit two into a car. Could you get a camel through the eye of a needle? Not without a blender, you couldn't. Jesus is saying that it's impossible for wealthy people to enter the kingdom of God. That is a big statement. That's a confronting statement for first century culture and for Australian culture or whatever culture we come from. Why is this the case? Because wealthy people tend to feel that they've got the answers, that they're self-reliant. They can use their money to solve the problems that they face. They're not leaners, they're lifters. And this, what this man loved more than eternal life, he loved his wealth. And Jesus says it's impossible for wealthy people to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples are like, well, who can be saved? And Jesus says, well, what's impossible for people is possible for God. Thank God that he can show grace to wealthy people. Thank God. I think this is less a matter of the bank account, a bank balance. Jesus is not saying if your bank balance comes up to this point, you're fine, and after that, you're in danger, or your portfolio, or your however you measure your assets. He's not saying there's a level up to this point where you're okay, after that, you're in danger. No. He's saying, what do you love? What do you want? I think he's saying that if you want to be rich, you will miss out on the kingdom. Because poor people can love money just as much as rich people, right? It can be the driving force for the poor and for the wealthy. And Jesus says, no. If you want to be rich, you will miss out on the kingdom. If you want status and achievement, if that's what you desire, it's what you love, you'll miss out on the kingdom. If you want, if everything in your life revolves around you want the happy family, the whole family life, it's all, that's what I want so much. That's my wealth. Jesus says, if that's what you love most, you'll miss out on the kingdom. Are we willing to give up these things for the sake of Jesus? I want to say one last thing. Jesus says it's worth giving up these things. Because to everyone who follows him, who gives up their desire for wealth, their desire for stability, whatever it is that is their riches that they're holding on to, whoever is willing to give those things up, he says, will experience the extravagant blessings of God. Verse 28, Peter said, we've left everything we had to follow you. And Jesus, yeah. You remember what they left? What Peter, James, John, Peter and Andrew, James and John left. They left their fishing boats when Jesus said, come follow me. That's really irresponsible. That's a very irresponsible thing to do. And Jesus says, whatever, if you give these things up for the sake of the kingdom, God will bless you in all kinds of ways. See there? I tell you, no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life. Following Jesus means giving up on our desire for wealth in whatever facet that might be, being willingness to give it up. But Jesus says following him is worth it, because the blessings that come relationally in church, the blessings that come through the people that God puts around us, the blessings that come in eternal life far outweigh what we might give up now. And the things that we might give up now will seem so trivial when compared to the eternal glories of God. I'd love to unpack that some more, but we should finish now. Jesus said that his kingdom, it's about weakness, not wealth. It's about kids. It's about people who are like kids, who have nothing much to offer. It's like people who are like babies, who have got nothing to offer. They are the ones who the kingdom belongs to. And they are the ones who will enter his kingdom. His kingdom is about willingness and not wealth. But everyone in his kingdom gets the extravagant blessings of God. Let's pray. And then I think we'll sing and close. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are good and kind, and we thank you for the Lord Jesus, and that he shows us that it is weak people who are part of his kingdom. And Lord, we are so weak. We thank you that you have chosen weak people like us, flawed people, broken people, to have the wonderful blessing in your kingdom. We pray for the kids in our church and the older people in our church, and people that our world does not value. Help us to value them like Jesus values them. Amen.